Welcome to On Being Happier, Thinking with Heart and Mind, a podcast emphasizing the heart's role in happiness, in sound decision-making, and in being at our best. Hi, my name is Ron Schneebaum. I'm a physician, work at the outpatient arm of the Children's Hospital at Dartmouth, and serve on the clinical faculty at Dartmouth College's Geisel School of Medicine. I'm convinced that nothing's more important to the human psyche than love. I've worked at thinking with both heart and mind for over 40 years. While intellectual analysis generally carries the banner of thinker, to leave out the heart is to leave out something vital. Language reminds us of the importance of the heart. To do something half-heartedly or to not put our hearts into an activity means we didn't do it well. And to be heartless is not a compliment. We involve our hearts wherever we care the most, where heart and mind work together, we're happier, have richer relationships, and greater practical success. We are fully present and we are fully ourselves. It's the art of living well. Each episode of this podcast presents a different aspect of thinking with heart and mind. Together, I hope they paint a full and broad picture. I developed this podcast to not only describe a lost art, but to also offer challenges and tools that interested listeners can use to incorporate thinking with the heart and mind into all aspects of their lives. The ideas in this podcast are my own, and the stories have been altered to protect privacy. This podcast is not a substitute for medical advice. If you are experiencing significant difficulties, please seek professional help. I thank you for joining me on this venture. My very best and be well, Ron. Episode 17, Working Through Emotions and Feelings with Heart and Mind, Part 1 of 2. Cameron's mother left a message and asked me to call her back. Cameron was getting into trouble at school and she wanted to talk with me. She didn't know what to do. When we spoke, she told me that he's been very angry. He's been getting into fights at school and at home, and he's been picking on his younger brother. We talked for a while, and then I thought, you know, I'm always impressed whenever I see you with him. I always wonder about this edge. He always seems to have a little bit of an edge, and that goes counter to the friendly, warm guy that I think he is. What goes on? And she immediately said it's his father. He doesn't like his father. As a matter of fact, he can't stand his father. He'd seen his father abuse me. His father is nasty towards him. For a period of time, I threw him out of the house, and there was so much peace, but then I took him back. We go back a long ways, and he begged to come back, and I finally let him back. But it's been miserable at home. We had a planned vacation, and the kids were looking forward to it, and then he told me he was going to be joining us, and the whole mood changed. In that same week, I saw a 17-year-old boy, Jackson. His mom brought him in because he had been very sad and she didn't know what to do. His sadness was because his father had been killed in a car accident, and this happened several months ago. He's an only child. He lives with his mom, and his dad hadn't been part of his life for a very long time. He recently, though, had been rebuilding his relationship with his father and felt good about it, and now his father was killed. What made it even worse was he discovered that his father was killed because he was drinking, and he didn't know that his father had a drinking problem. His mom explained to him that that was the reason they split up. And to make matters even worse, the family in France wanted nothing to do with this son. They didn't like his mother, and they refused to accept that they had a son together. Jackson couldn't talk with him about his father and his father's death, and he couldn't go to the funeral. He wasn't able to appropriately and ceremoniously mourn for his father. As he told me what was going on for him, tears poured out of his eyes. In that same week, I saw a 15-year-old girl who came in because she was anxious. When I spoke with her dad, who was there, and with her older sister, it became clear that her anxiety and her older sister's anger was due to her grandmother living in the basement. The father had been a single dad since Renee was about 2. Mom had never been part of their life after that because of her mental and substance abuse issues. And the father had raised him. He seemed like a really nice guy. But then he said that many years ago, he took in his mother and she started to drink more and more. She had remarried, and she and her husband would argue all the time. She was also very nasty toward the girls, and it was clear that it was this woman that caused this girl such upset. I tell these stories to highlight how the circumstances of life have powerful effects on our emotions and our feelings. Each of these teenagers came to see me in my office, and they refused to see a counselor. Because I was their pediatrician, I needed to have a way to respond to them. I needed to have something to say to them. When I saw Cameron, I thought it's pointless for me to talk about how anger won't get him anywhere. It'll only get him in trouble. So I said, Cameron, I was talking to your mom, and she told me that your father is really the reason you walk around with anger. And he shook his head, yeah. And I said, if you run your relationships out of the way your father is, if you let him get inside of you and you let his anger create your own anger, he wins. You will grow up and you will be just the way he is. You'll have miserable relationships and you'll have a miserable life. Your challenge is to get the thorn of who he is out of your own head and to be you. You're a sweet and nice and friendly guy. If you have relationships based on the way who you are, you'll have a great life. You'll have great relationships. Now, what I'm saying is not easy. Most adults never get to do this. It might take a long time, or it could be an instantaneous realization that you have. But that's your challenge. His nastiness has nothing to do with you. Be you, and your life will go well. When I spoke to Jackson, I said, you had something terrible happen. You are allowed to grieve and to cry as much as you want. That is perfectly fine, and nobody should be able to tell you how long is appropriate. If you'd like, you and your mom can set up your own memorial service to your dad. It might make her sad, but don't worry about it. She'll be okay. She can do it. And she agreed. I also said, despite your sadness, there are several things you should know. One is, don't feel guilty about the way your relationship was, and don't think I didn't spend enough time with him, I wasn't nice enough to him, and so on. His mom, who was there, shook her head in agreement. If anyone that we love dies, it would be natural for all of us to feel that we should have been better with them in our relationships. You had the exact perfect relationship based on what your relationship was, and you couldn't have been any different than the way you were. Don't worry about that part. And he said, thank you. While you mourn and while you're upset, you're also allowed to live your life. If you could talk to your father, he wouldn't say, you know what, Jackson, because I died in a car accident, I'd like you to be miserable. No, not at all. He would want you to thrive despite his accident. And so you are allowed to thrive. You're allowed to still feel the sadness, but you can compartmentalize it. If, say, you want to get back to your studies and work really hard at your studies, you can have a little shrine. You can have a picture of him and a candle at your desk. You can have him be your inspiration for studying. You also don't disrespect him if you have fun. You're allowed to go to parties. You're allowed to laugh when you feel like it. You're allowed to have a great time, and that doesn't disrespect him. In fact, that's what he'd love to see you do. So you're allowed to do that. And I said to Renee's father, you've got to change your life. You've got to get your mother and her husband out of your house. Renee doesn't deserve that. Marcus, another 16-year-old, came to my office to see if his hand was broken. He'd punched his locker because he was upset, and now it really hurt. He punched his locker for the obvious reason a 16-year-old boy punches his locker. His girlfriend broke up with him. And I said, Marcus, that is such a clever act. It's so cool. I could imagine that when you punched your locker, you thought that she would turn around, see you punch the locker, see how much your hand hurt, and say, wow, you punched your locker because you were upset that I'm leaving you. Any guy who does that, any guy who gets that mad, any guy who's willing to sacrifice his hand, that's my kind of guy. Forget that I was breaking up. And he laughed. Of course that wouldn't happen. In working through our emotions and feelings with heart and mind, we'll use an analogy to see another layer of feelings that we have. Our physical body has its senses, and through its senses, we experience the world. We have our sense of touch, our sense of taste, our sense of smell, and we, without judgment, work to maximize these experiences. When we buy a couch, we look for a couch that feels comfortable. We buy certain foods because we like the way they taste. We don't buy things that we don't like. By extension, we have a sense of ourselves. We have a feeling inside about whether we like ourselves or not. And this plays a big role in how we feel about the world and the emotions that we experience. We can improve our sense of ourself and also do this naturally and non-judgmentally. Because just as we want to taste foods that we like, we want to feel better about ourselves. And we can do this both by working in the practical everyday world and being better at our skills, but we can also do this by healing the old wounds and hurts of childhood. As we do this, we'll start to feel better about ourselves. We can also let in light. We have the ability to let in light because light is part of our being. So we can open ourselves to light, and this is reviewed in several past episodes. Another sense that we have is our sense of life itself. Is our life, are we, connected to love and wisdom or not? And here is a way to look at that question. If love is part of who we are, then by extension, wisdom is part of who we are, for love and wisdom are two names for the same thing. We know this because acting lovingly is also acting wisely. When we try to do the best thing for our child or for an elderly parent, what we're looking for in those settings is wisdom, for love is wise. So if we know that life is filled with wisdom, that changes again our orientation and our feelings. We can now put this all together and see what it means to work through our emotions and feelings with heart and mind. The first step is to experience our feelings. One feeling isn't better or worse than another. It's to experience them fully. While we experience them, though, we can also recognize whether a certain feeling or emotion is positive or if it doesn't feel positive, and we can change it. This doesn't mean that we're denying the feeling. It's no different than saying, I think I put too much salt in this soup. I want to change it. It's, I don't like the way this feels. I want to improve it. So if we do that, we can do that in several ways. So in doing that, it takes several steps. The first is to recognize the feeling. The second is to fully experience it. The third is possibly to even name it and then see where it came from. Suppose, for example, I'm playing in a card game, and I make several mistakes, and my partner yells at me and tells me that I'm stupid, and all of a sudden I notice that I shrink down and feel worthless, and I feel miserable. If I look to see where that comes from, I might recognize a point in my childhood when my grandfather told me that I was stupid and I wouldn't amount to anything, and I took that personally and wove that into my sense of myself. Now, because of this card game, I saw myself back as being 5 years old with my grandfather telling me that I was stupid and I wouldn't make anything out of my life. This isn't the time for me to work on that. That could be later that evening when I look to see that my grandfather had no business calling me stupid. He had no position to judge that from. Plus, you don't do that to a child. And also, it had nothing to do with whether or not I'm worthless. I could have been a bad math student, if that's what he was referring to, but that has nothing to do with who I am as a person, so I can spend some time healing that. But the first one is to recognize where it comes from. As I work inwardly on those past experiences, being called a name in any kind of situation loses its grip. So if it turns out my partner says I'm a terrible card player, I could either decide I don't want to play with that partner anymore, I could decide I want to get better at the game and be better at it. I could ignore it and continue playing, or I could build my skill in the game. But none of that do I take personally. Suppose in another setting, I get frustrated and yell at my children. I'm trying to get out of the house in the morning and they're not getting ready. I'm going to be late for work and I get mad at them. Here, I can take a look at the frustration that I feel, see that I don't like it, and realize that I'm the adult in the situation and I need to spend some time to figure out how we're going to get out of the house better in the morning. It could be I think through this myself, I might do it with my partner, I might also seek professional help, but I know that it's up to me to make the situation work better, and I can do that. I saw a 17-year-old girl recently who I'd been treating for depression, and she came in smiling and looking better than I'd ever seen. I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Oh, I just broke up with my boyfriend." And I said, "Was he that bad?" And she said, "Yeah, he was abusive." I think about where that comes from. Why do we get into abusive relationships? Why do we stay in them? And why do we repeat them? It's not healing those childhood hurts. Suppose Renee and the story that I described was in a relationship and someone loved her. Out of that person loving her, she could feel something that she really was seeking, that place of comfort, that place of being at peace. Because her life was so crazy, though, she could also accept as normal being in a terrible relationship at the same time that you're in a loving relationship. She could accept being abused because she just doesn't know that relationships don't have to be like that. Once she starts to feel good about herself, then she can feel like, "I don't want to do that again. I would rather be alone than be with someone that doesn't feel right." Now, just for an idea how important this is, I talk to parents who are getting divorced and commonly ask, are they surprised if they look back to when they first got married that they're getting divorced at this time? Except for situations where somebody had an unexpected affair, in almost all circumstances, they say, "No, I'm not surprised." So if we honor who we are and recognize when something doesn't feel right, we can use that to protect us from getting into relationships that will make us miserable. Sometimes it can happen that out of the blue we start to cry. And when we look at that, it could be because we're sitting and we're noticing a family enjoying each other at the playground and having a nice time together, and I got divorced and I feel really sad when I see another family having fun. That's a signal to me that what I need to do is later on go back and rework my divorce, rework my thoughts about my divorce, and have myself come to terms with what happened and even see how it's positive and going to be helpful. It could be that my crying is because it reminds me of someone who died, someone who I dearly love. We love sitting in the park and just hanging out and being with each other. And now when I see people having a good time, I realize I'm reminded of that and I start to cry. In that setting, I could walk away and go off by myself and just cry. And I can experience my sense of loss, and that's okay. I could at the same time recognize where it comes from and say hello to the person who died and say, "Listen, I'm glad you're with me." And know that this will come up at various times. It doesn't take away from my wholeness. It helps to enrich and make me who I am. As we work through our feelings and emotions with heart and mind, we more and more come to the place where we can be ourselves. Instead of all the seas of emotions bubbling up and throwing our ship as we sail through life, we instead can have a rudder that allows us to not be deflected by everything that rises. We can be our own person. One simple way to see that is that if we're in any kind of moment where we're fully engaged, we hold back all those emotions so we can be present and be ourselves. That doesn't mean we're squashing them. For some, we've taken out their roots. For some, we've realized that our actions aren't helpful, so we can get rid of those. And for others, we can live with them, but we can also be present. Now, there's a great mystery when we're present. When we're present, life sparkles. If we're eating something and we're fully immersed in the flavor of it, it tastes better. Sounds are sweeter. Smells are richer. So if we can be present and we ask at the same time, "Who am I? How do I best navigate? How do I most lovingly move through this action?" Then we can be ourselves. And then life isn't necessarily simple, but it's rich. It's our own lives. And we can check to see that we are doing well by seeing that not only do we feel better, but we navigate more smoothly and make the people around us' lives sparkle a little bit more. In the next episode, we'll look at how to hold the space for others to live with their feelings and emotions. I developed this podcast to not only further my ideas about thinking with heart and mind, but to also help interested listeners work with these ideas. To that end, I created exercises that interested listeners can work with to incorporate these ideas into their everyday lives. These exercises are the show notes for the episode. They can be found either by going to Apple Podcasts and looking for show notes, or they can be found by going to the website of this podcast. The website of this podcast is ronschneebaummd.com. It can also be gotten by searching for onbeinghappier.com. If you search for it that way, On Being Happier must be one word. For this episode, there are three exercises. The first is simply to watch as you experience your various emotions and feelings. Open yourselves to them. Allow yourselves to feel them. The second part of the exercise is to take the time to notice where these emotions and feelings come from. Do they come from past hurts? Do they come from frustration with present events? And if you look at the frustration with present events, pay attention to whether or not your actions that come out of that actually achieve your aims. If, for example, I jam on my horn if somebody cuts me off in the parking lot, will that do anything other than get me upset and everybody in the car upset? Will that change the way that person drives? If not, I can start to say, I need a better tactic. If people don't listen to me and I start screaming, does that help? And we'll discover that it really doesn't. And that will allow us to rethink and think about what strategy will work. The third exercise is to look at the idea that there is wisdom in our lives. And for this exercise, it's to think through this process, and I'll describe it again, and to see if this is true, how would this change my life? So it's not saying you have to believe it, but live with it enough to say, if it's true, how would it change my life? If I have the ability to be loving and to be compassionate, then that means I have love and compassion within me. If I have love and compassion within me, that love and compassion is tied to a universal love and compassion. It's the same love and compassion that anyone has. If I'm connected to a universal love and compassion, and this crosses cultures and it crosses time, then that means that love and compassion that I'm connected to is something universal. At the same time, this love and compassion is wise. To act with caring, to act with love, is to act wisely. If I have wisdom that's in my life, just the way I have love in my life, then I don't need to battle life. I can be me and be fully present. What would it mean if there's wisdom in my life? How would that change my frustrations, my upset, my whole approach to life? Further aid listeners with these ideas, I also have a picture at the website with the words working through emotions and feelings with heart and mind. There is a small size of the picture and a larger size. The smaller size can be downloaded and used as wallpaper for your phone. The larger size can be downloaded and used as a screensaver for your tablet or laptop. I find that having a picture with the words of something I'm working on is a great reminder. I publish these podcasts every 2 to 3 weeks. There's been a long hiatus since the last one, and I've missed you guys terribly because I had a major project I was working on. I just had no time for it. Use the time in between episodes to work on these ideas. If you're streaming podcasts, instead of simply going from one to another, spend some time thinking about the topic here. That way, these really become tools for your life. If you have any questions, don't hesitate. Email me. Email me at ron@onbeinghappier.com and put on the subject line questions. And these could be questions about this episode, about the content, or anything in your own life about this episode. If you have any comments or suggestions about future episodes, write comments in the subject line. And if you would like to receive a newsletter, write newsletter in the subject line. To help to make this podcast grow, I've developed an online presence. On Being Happier can be found on Instagram, and there's also a Facebook group. I've been so busy that I haven't been able to address these, but join me there. There will be postings. And through this, we might be able to have some further conversation. I'm so glad you could join me here. I look forward to our next time. Until then, I wish you all my very best and be well, Ron.